Good afternoon and welcome to this New Year's Eve episode of And Then There's That, a bi-weekly podcast of people, politics, and punditry in Howard County on the HOCO Mojo Network. I'm Paul Scalney, and I'm here at the Mall in Columbia with my co-host, Dennis Lane. Joining us today is Alan Jones, the man from whom we stole the name And Then There's That. Alan, thank you for that.
Thank you.
But as always, we first like to take a look at some of the top stories making the headlines this week. Dennis, what you got to get us started?
Well, Paul, I guess the biggest news that happened right here in the Mall in Columbia almost a week ago.
Right here.
Where we sit. Where, in this very spot. 300-some people converged on the Mall for the, I'm calling it the first ever Columbia flash mob. Now, apparently, there's some people who take issue with that. There was a smaller group that happened in Oakland Mills or Owens.
Four or five people got together in the family room of somebody's
this
house.
This was an event. Quite impressive. And, you know, it was put together by the HOCO Mojo folks, which, of course, produce our show. And, you know, it very quickly. And, you know, these things are hard to pull off.
I got to tell you, my family and I participated in it. My wife and my two kids. My son, a little reluctantly, but we got him around. And it was a great family holiday event to participate in. Just great great atmosphere, just a lot of fun, a lot of energy, just all around a great time.
And, of course, I learned an important lesson about flash mobs, that if you really want to see a flash mob, you have to participate all the way in a flash mob.
Well, the whole essence of a flash mob is that it's not a performance at a particular time. It's
spontaneous. It kind of happens.
It's choreographed spontaneity.
Choreographed spontaneity.
Is this a word that's in the dictionary? I have no idea what you're talking about. What is this something new that people are doing now?
We'll get to you later.
Yeah. Okay. I'm old, and I've been on radio in 40 years.
It is a new phenomenon that's taken hold the last several, I guess, months. And if you go onto YouTube, www.youtube.com, I'll help you out later.
It's on the internet.
Please do.
Yeah.
You can actually find many very impressive flash mobs.
Cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
I had hoped I was at a thing of a thousand. I didn't get back to Columbia till late, and I kind of was going by the
is that sort of like Ellicott City? Towson?
Towson?
Tucson?
How do you say Towson?
Towson.
Towson?
Towson. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
I got back, and I was hoping to catch the flash mob. I knew I wasn't going to be able to participate, but I showed up, and it was already over. But that was my lesson. I'm sorry I missed it. I heard it was wonderful. The play it's getting, it was probably one of the top holiday stories in the Baltimore area over the holidays.
It was really very cool.
Very good.
So, Dennis, at our last show, we talked a little bit about the changing demographic of the Howard County Public School System's students.
Yes.
We talked about how for the first time ever, Caucasian students now are no longer a majority.
Right.
Well, that story has apparently prompted some criticism about our school board, which is now made up of all white individuals.
All white, male and female.
Male and female. And the closest thing we come to a non-Caucasian is actually Brian Meshkin, who is technically an Asian American with a father who was born in Iran.
Okay.
Nevertheless, you know, we're getting all these people now coming out saying we need to have better representation, better diversity on our school board. And of particular note is the criticism that we no longer have an African-American sitting on our school board.
Right.
Dennis, I don't get it. There are people out there that are disabled. There are people out there that
we have a gay person. Well, not that we know of.
Well, not that we know of, right.
In fact,
Tom Cole this morning on his blog on HOCO Rising was talking about the fact that there are tremendous socioeconomic, racial diversities that make up all of us that are not represented.
They're not represented.
In fact, I think Sidney Cousins tends to, our superintendent of schools.
Who also happens to be black.
As does, by the way, Ray Brown, who is the chief operating officer.
Right.
But we have 85 countries represented amongst our students.
Time to expand the school board.
I'm thinking that's an awfully big school board.
You know what's well represented on the school board? Curmudgeons. Because you got Alan Dyer and you got Cindy Valancourt. You know, you've got some curmudgeons. So,
some good ones. Then there's
But
that.
Are you guys arguing against diversity here?
Absolutely.
I don't understand what you're talking
about. Too much focus on it.
Well, that's okay, you know, if you're an old white guy, but, you know.
Like me.
Like you, yeah. No, seriously. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, I think you want to promote diversity.
But I think our school system does promote diversity. But how far do you go? Do you actually slate a particular seat or number of seats for non-Caucasian members of the board?
Do you elect somebody just to a board because they're black?
Well, I think you facilitate as broad a participation among as many ethnic groups as you can, because I think that kind of diversity, it's a better thing for everybody.
Absolutely.
I agree.
But if you promote it
or have set
and
aside.
You push it, well, and yet at the end of the day you still don't have somebody elected because the population has spoken. What do you do? Do you have set-asides?
I think that speaks more to the electoral machine in Howard County, which, as you know, you may recall, were you born back in the 70s? Because, you know, George Wallace actually won Howard County in 1972. That's, I guess, what he was campaigning in Laurel was when he got shot.
I got the baby face, but I'm actually back in the 60s.
But I mean, no. I think is the political machine open enough to people?
But Howard County in 72 is a lot different place.
But is the political machine here opening itself to participation by a wider group of people?
I think we are out of our way to be open to other people's points of view and perspectives.
I'd almost say that we're colorblind in Howard County to a certain degree. So. But that's me. Okay. That's an old white guy talking.
Yeah, so. There you go.
All right, moving on. Explore Howard had an interesting story this week. Charles Schell, I believe is how you say his name. He's apparently the social media guy for Explore Howard. And he published the top 10 most read stories on Explore Howard, which is arguably the most read media here in Howard County, the top 10 stories for 2010. Now, I'm not going to go through the list.
And we thank you for that.
But what strikes you is that the list is full of crime and dog stories.
Sensationalism.
If it bleeds, it leads. Isn't that what the old line is in journalism?
You know, I think back to the first American-Iraqi war. Back in 91 or 2, I guess it was. And I remember the evening news when the 11 o'clock news, I don't know if it was Channel 13 or 11 or 2, doesn't even matter. But we were like 5 or 6 or 7 minutes into the news before we talked about the fact that there were airstrikes against Iraq. Because first we had to cover the murders and the drug arrests. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is. It is. And, you know, this was a big year. This was an election year in Howard County. You know, we had people running for office. We also had the town center stuff. That didn't even make the top 10. Amazing.
Tells you about the electoral process in Howard County.
I thought you were coming back to that again, are we?
You know, you spoke about that. I was so captured by the. I thought you were talking about the old Schwarzenegger line, if it bleeds, you can kill it, from Predator.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
That was a wholly different tangent.
Okay, hold on. We can go there later. Okay. Speaking of time. Looking back at
nice attempt at the segue.
It was weak, I admit.
Oops.
When they were, I love this, because the story says when they were renovating the George Howard building in Ellicott City, they discovered a time capsule from 1976. Well, I'm sure somebody knew where that thing was. I mean, time capsules have markers, and so you know where they are.
Well, and time capsules that last for hundreds of years, okay, I can see how they get forgotten and whatever, but not in today's day and age.
76.
Come on. I mean, it was 35 years ago. It's not that long ago.
I remember 1976. Think of that. I was a junior in college, as well as our guest today.
Well, given that you were a junior in college, I'm surprised you remember it.
And then there's that.
Well, then there's that. But what struck me was, they've created a new time capsule, which they've put in some artifacts of 2010, and you know, so that someday somebody can look back and say, gee, what was 2010 like? But what they didn't do, they didn't open the time capsule from 1976. But I couldn't help but think what might be in there. So I did a little research. I went back to 1976. Did you know?
You don't remember.
Because I don't really remember. 1976 was when Apple Computer was started. The Concorde flew for the first time in 1976. The Space Shuttle flew for the first time in 1976. What do you think might have been a news story in 1976? The George Howard Building opening in Ellicott City.
Did they put one of the Jimmy Carter peanut buttons from the election?
I've got one
of those.
We tried to figure it out. I think it was Omar Jones we determined was county executive then. Or
I think we speculated. I'm not sure we actually figured out who it was.
We didn't do the research on that, but I'm sure some listener to the show will. But I have no idea who was on the county council. I think Lloyd Knowles might have been on the county council.
And VCRs, I think it first came out that year.
Yeah, that's right. VCRs. The Betamax had ruled the roost until the VCR came out in 76. So anyway, maybe there's a videotape in the 76 time capsule.
Of course, there won't be any machinery on which to play that videotape right. In short order because they're obsolete.
Now look at this. What is this thing?
All right, so fast forwarding back to 2010, at least for one more day. So the Howard County Library has been granted a $25,000 grant from the Horizon Foundation to build as part of its new renovated Miller Branch
in Ellicott City.
In Ellicott City. Uh-huh. A teaching garden.
A teaching garden.
Now, I know you and I disagree a little bit on this, and I think you said something at lunch today that really struck me. You know it's Howard County when the library has its own little teaching garden?
Well, my comment was, where else but the richest county and the richest state in the Union can you have a foundation give a grant for an enchanted garden?
And they're calling it the Enchanted Garden. It's expected to promote the library system's goals to be a resource in the county on healthful living and will focus particularly on youngsters and obesity.
I mean, I think that's a good thing.
Dennis, it's a good thing. But, you know, when are we going to stop granting money for all these things that, you know, it's probably a good thing. But you know what? At the end of the day, we're all getting fatter, and it all comes back to parents allowing their kids get fat. It doesn't matter if there's a garden to go to at the Miller Branch. That's not the solution. Let's stop pretending like it is.
Well, wait a minute. As somebody who pays a lot of taxes and doesn't have kids, so I don't get to use as much of that tax money.
You could if you gained weight.
Like you. Well, I've been through that. That's a really hurtful thing to say. What's wrong with the teaching garden? I mean, it takes us back to the roots of Columbia, kind of the next America. It's out there.
Alan's a little touchy-feely. I don't know if you got that.
I kind of like him as a guest on the show. This might have to be a regular thing.
Well, there's that.
Well, you know,
speaking of
enchanted gardens.
Oh, yes.
Yes, there was another story in this. And you know, this is under the category of this. I just said this poor son of a gun. There's a guy in Ellicott City, right before Christmas, who was kind of minding his own business. It's sleep at night with his lady and. You know, having a nice, restful evening, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, a BMW crashes into his house. Driver of the car is killed. Very tragic. House catches on fire. Terrible conflict. He's thrown out of his home. Police and firemen come in. They put out the fire. And in investigating the structural integrity of his house, they discover his enchanted garden. 20 marijuana plants in his basement. You know... Talk about a bad run of luck. He didn't, he probably thought...
Minding his own business.
Minding his business.
Wrapping presents.
Wrapping presents. Growing some plants. Just, maybe some plants for friends and family, they were probably some gifts for some people for Christmas. But,
Your house is destroyed. Your presents are gone. Some guy died in your house.
And you're in jail.
BMW in your driveway. Right.
And you're in jail.
Right. Thanks.
And there's that.
So we've talked a lot over the last year about the redevelopment of Columbia, and we're sort of in the next phase of that, which is the approval of design criteria, which is right now before the county council. And the county council is pondering the current proposed design criteria, and I think her testimony, last week, I guess. And I don't want to harp on the story, but it just struck me as funny. Lee Richardson, who is the representative of the Town Center Village Board, actually testified in front of the county council and just all in all really liked the guidelines, but there were two or three points he wanted to make, and one of them really struck me as kind of funny, and it was the third point, and he wants all pedestrian crossing signs to have specific wording rather than using the internationally known symbols to explain when it's safe and unsafe to cross the street. You want to talk about dumbing down of our society. I mean, really?
Really? I mean, who's going to read these signs? As if, first of all, a lot of people don't even bother to cross at the crosswalk.
You look left, you look right. If there's no cars coming, you go.
You know,
Darwin did have a theory about this, right? Yikes.
And then, of course, you can imagine if you start putting, and you... two gentlemen as attorneys can appreciate this, you start putting additional language on the sign, well, then there's going to have to be disclaimers. So there'll be an asterisk on, look both ways. Telling you to look both ways does not, however, in any way...
Maybe a digital pad that you have to read and then you have to sign, hit accept before you can actually cross the sidewalk.
Maybe some more signs to mark more clearly the speed cameras, the speed and the red light cameras that they seem to have.
Now you're coming around. You're moving a little right.
Well,
that's nice.
Well,
that's good.
This is another painful subject. What can I tell you?
Speaking of painful subject.
Painful subject.
Our Columbia Association president, Phil Kirsch, has re-upped.
Not Phil Kirsch.
Phil Kirsch was the representative from Wild Lake.
Yes.
Phil Nelson has re-upped his contract for another 3 years.
Glutton
for punishment.
Maybe in the next 3 years he'll actually move to Columbia.
And there's that.
Well, you could say he's the biggest winner, but he's not the only biggest winner.
That reminds me of a story. So we all know the Biggest Loser TV show, which is the competition for the weight loss.
Right.
So we have a Howard County version of that, which is incredibly touchy-feely and apropos for Howard County. CA does this, and they call it the Biggest Winner.
Everybody's a winner.
Because in Howard County, we have no losers.
No. Well, that's debatable. But
I just want to know if they're going to give trophies at the end of the
Everybody gets a trophy.
Everyone's going to get
a
trophy.
Well, doesn't it say that even if you... To win, all you got to do is...
In order to win the competition, you have to meet your goals.
And you don't even tell
irrespective of what your goals are.
I love it.
I think we ought to audit the goal setting there.
Well, you know, and that kind of that gets us through our list. But our guest has a story that he'd like to talk about.
Well, a sad story is the closing of the Good Life Market in Ellicott City, which for 6 years has been one of the destination spots. It brought a lot of people to Main Street, and I think
actually not to Main Street. They've really that corner of parking lot D.
Well, but that's all Main Street. I mean, if you get there,
come on, guys,
you park
it's just the
Main Street
to the historic district.
But you know, but I think Randy and Steve did a great job there, and we're going to miss them. And I hope that we're able to find a comparable sort of store there.
What do you think happened there, Alan? I mean, you know, they 6 years. They looks like they did everything right in retailing. They promoted.
It's a tough market. I mean, I think they
high end
stuff.
Tough. Yeah,
I mean, that's for sure. But what we don't need is another junk store, another antique
head
store,
shop.
Another another
tattoo
bad restaurant.
Parlor.
We need. To maintain Main Street, I think they've got to have quality. You know. Quality operators there.
And I'll say, I love Main Street. I love the charm of Main Street. But we got to stop calling all these places antique stores.
The junk stores.
They're junk stores.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Just so we're clear.
Well, I mean, some of them are antique stores. we need a few more good restaurants.
Just because something's collected dust on it in your basement does not make it an antique.
Well, should we be putting a casino in Ellicott City?
There's not enough parking.
Other than that, I'm sure our county council would be thrilled with that idea.
And the liquor laws. The liquor laws would probably have that's a sad story. And
what
I guess I just wanted to note the good work that the folks out at Mount Hebron High School are doing in collecting gifts for soldiers who are at the local hospitals. I mean, I think that's at this time of year, it's easy to get caught up in your own holiday and your own celebration. But folks who are making the extra effort to do something nice, particularly for our men and women in the armed service, I think that's a great thing. And I personally want to thank those folks at Mount Hebron.
Thank you for the stories. Good addition.
Yeah, that was good.
So here we are, New Year's Eve. We do have a couple of big events coming up in Howard County tonight. We want to just take a quick moment and mention we have the Ball in the Mall.
Ball in the Mall, sponsor of our show.
Right here in the mall, they're having a big gala.
Tickets still available? Yeah, you can still buy a ticket if you are still looking for something last minute to do. $100.
Great food, some DJs, some bands. I think it's going to be a real good time.
Good time here. Close to home, too.
Close to home. And then Midnight at 7, the Howard County Hospital Foundation is doing a Midnight at 7 celebration, a family type event over at Symphony of Lights. And tickets are still available for that as well.
The whole idea is that you know, bring the kids by early, give them a celebration.
Exactly.
They're going to do fireworks
as well.
Excellent.
So two really great events. And if you don't otherwise have plans, get out and hit one of those two events tonight.
You taking me?
No,
you
still be up for New Year's.
Oh,
I am.
Not so much.
Our guest today, we've invited to, because we just want to have a little fun today, and this is a little bit different show for us. Our guest is somebody who's grown up here in Howard County. Actually, Alan and I went to high school together.
We were the first graduating class.
First graduating
class.
First
high school in Columbia.
Lake High School. So certainly a guy who's got a perspective on local stuff. But really the stuff we want to talk about is that great thing that everybody does this time of year, New Year's resolutions. And before we kind of get into what we have for New Year's resolutions, we spent a little time kind of thinking up New Year's resolutions for other people. Like, Paul, like, what might be our New Year's resolution for our county executive?
Well, you know, we thought that Ken, if he's going to make a good run for governor, that he probably ought to spend some more time in the urban settings of Maryland, including, like, Baltimore, for instance.
Yeah. So Ken should resolve to spend less time in Howard County and more time downtown.
That would be a good start for Ken.
Of course, then there's certain politicians who should spend more time in Howard County than Annapolis, and that
like Alan Kittleman.
Alan Kittleman, the Senate Minority Leader.
Well, and Alan's done a great job as the Senate Minority Leader in the state, but with that position came a need, I think, for him to stay pretty true to his Republican Party. And I think if he's going to make a run for county executive, which there's been some speculation about, he's going to have to, I think, come left a little bit.
Yeah, he's got to move a little bit from the right to the left, towards the center.
It's amazing all this post-election right and left shifting that has to take place to sort of set yourself up for your next run.
And another one who's kind of doing the slide dance is Courtney Watson. Now, which way is she got to wish? She's got to what? Move a little bit to the left?
Well, I think she kind of moved to the right before the election, tried to make herself look a little more closer to her opponent, Bob Flanagan, than perhaps others saw her as being. And it's going to be interesting. I'm not sure where she needs to move. I think there are people that see this county moving left, in which case she'll probably need to move in that direction as well, although I'm not really sure.
So she needs to buddy up with Liz Bobo a little bit. Maybe send Liz a birthday card on December
21st. December 21st. Why is it you know Liz Bobo's birthday? I'm really concerned.
Well, you know, it's one of those things I have to know.
This is the guy I thought was going to be either Howard County Executive or President of Columbia Association back in the day.
And look what happened to me.
Look what happened to me.
Yeah, then there's that.
What did happen? He's doing a groundbreaking podcast.
I'm doing a podcast sitting here in the middle of the mall. Wow. No place I'd rather be.
Nice to have you here, Doug. So Bob Flanagan, we mentioned him. What about Bob? So maybe Bob ought to smile more, try to endear the voters a little bit more.
If I were Bob, I'd resolve to smile. The only time I saw Bob smiling during the campaign was when he was standing all by himself waving at cars in the morning. He seemed happiest doing that.
Yeah, well, when you're happiest by yourself, running for office is probably the wrong thing for you.
Good thing.
You know, I hate that waving thing. It's really distracting.
Do you think that that sways any voters?
I think that and collecting stuff in little buckets at stoplights should be outlawed.
Well, actually, it is in Howard County. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that, but...
The waving or the collecting?
The collecting.
Well, they should stop the waving.
Well, the waving is exempt, sort of like, the healthcare system for Congress.
It's like free speech or something?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Do away with that. It's bad.
So how about Liz?
Liz Bobo.
I think she ought to expand her world a little bit. I feel like she's, for a fairly liberal Democrat, I feel like she kind of discriminates against the other coffee shops in town.
She does.
She spends all her time either at the bagel bin or at Lakeside.
Now, what about Starbucks? She's got a couple Starbucks in her district, let me see. I don't know. Her district.
Riverside?
She goes down to Clarksville? Is there...
I don't know. I think she ought to expand her horizons.
I think she ought to expand her horizons. Get out a little bit more. And she ought to... she needs a new fight. The town center stuff's over. So she needs to pick a new fight with Mary Kay over something. And she needs to resolve to find a new fight with Mary Kay in 2011.
Mary Kay, having been a champion of town center redevelopment, we think she ought to resolve to determine who Greg Hamm's successor really is.
Yeah.
And invite him out for coffee.
Yeah.
At a place other than where Liz is hanging out.
Preferably.
And explain to him the finer details of enforceability.
You think Greg... Yeah, Greg could probably use a little...
Yeah, I think so.
We should do a coffee shop show.
Yeah. Well, we had one time.
Just tour the coffee shops.
Until Liz got us... No, we don't know
that. Oh, stop.
And speaking of Greg...
Greg Hamm.
We have a resolution for Greg.
We do. Greg, as many of you know, lost his job as the sort of representative.
As the general manager of Columbia.
General manager of Columbia. And we hope that Greg will find another planned community where wackos are fighting redevelopment. We can't think of a better place for Greg to land.
He did it
so well here.
He can handle the wackos better than anybody, and he did a hell of a job. So we wish him well, and hopefully that's what he'll resolve to do in 2011. And speaking of economic development, there's a segue. Our beloved director of economic development, Dick Story, is retiring in May, and so he needs a resolution.
Did you just extend his tenure for 2 months? Because I thought it was March. But
March. What did I say?
May.
March. I'm sorry. March.
He heard that. He'd be very upset.
It was another M.
I got plans.
I probably am. Now Dick has, before he became Howard County's economic developer, he's had a couple of careers. He's been a radio announcer, he's been a preacher, and he's also been a big fan of the Boy Scouts. So maybe he should resolve to spend some more time with his Boy Scout nuts? I don't know.
getting close to the line.
Yeah, we could do that. And, given that he is sort of the voice of Howard County, he's a little bit of a threat to us here.
Yeah.
We got to make sure he doesn't become hot podcasting.
He has resolved to find something to do.
I'm never going on his show. I'm going to declare that right now.
You are. You're going to stick with us?
I will not go on his show. That's right.
I love you, man.
Feel it.
Tom Cole.
Speaking of somebody else with a show, the rumor is that Tom is hatching a plan with the brain trust of Hoko Mojo for a future podcast. So,
and he's the Hoko Rising blogger.
The Hoko Rising blogger, and he's
what do you got for him?
Well, Tom did a hell of a job on his blog this year with some investigative journalism. So I think he should resolve to change his career to become an investigative reporter. The dirt he dug up on Brian Meskin when he was running for school board was pretty good. So I think that'd be a good resolution for Tom is to consider his career change.
Speaking of Brian, I think Brian ought to resolve to take the Howard County public school system public.
Now, you're what we're talking about, for those who don't know, Brian Meskin, the newly elected member of the school board.
School board, yeah. And he apparently...
Oh, that's the diversity candidate you had there.
That is the diversity.
Yeah, yeah,
got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got it. And just so we're clear,
I'm feeling better already.
I didn't say he represents diversity.
Okay.
The article said he represents diversity.
Well, Brian has a habit of stretching his resume. I mean, here's a guy, when he was running for school board, he makes a big deal out of something he did when he was in high school.
Like,
yeah, well, like exactly.
Radio Free Wild League.
So, and then there's that.
All right, so speaking of school board, you got Alan Dyer.
Alan Dyer, simple resolution. He should resolve not to sue himself.
And for those that don't know, Alan Dyer is a member of the school board, and he actually brought a civil lawsuit against the Board
school
of Education.
Of which he was a member.
Of which he was a member, claiming that they violated certain open meeting
emails or
open meeting rules and things like that. So.
But Alan is very quick with a lawsuit. You know, he's never met a lawsuit he didn't like.
Vic Broccolino, president of Howard County General, and Kate Hetherington, the president of Howard Community College.
Oco Community College.
We think they should resolve to go on an entire year without applying for a building permit. Unless it's for a sidewalk which connects the two campuses.
I could use a sidewalk. I mean, they're great at building big buildings, but, you know, there's... We were talking about that before. There's no real easy physical way to get from the Howard County Hospital campus over to the Community College campus, even though they're right next door to each other.
You can't get there from here.
You can't get
you
there.
You stand there, you look
which
at
is
it. It's way over there.
Typical for Columbia.
I'm trying to figure out which way you would need to go. So, you know, are you taking a class and you slip and fall and you got to get to Howard County General, or are you sitting in ICU and you feel the need to take a continuing ed class and you need to hop over to the college?
I like it.
And just so we're clear, as long as they're going to put sidewalks in, I want to make sure they've got directional pedestrian signs as well, with actual words.
With words to tell you.
Well, if it's town center, they can do neon signs, right?
Neon.
They're colorful neon signs.
That's in the design guidelines, I believe. And speaking of town center, we're a CA.
One of your favorites.
A perennial favorite topic on our show. I think CA should resolve to finally get that customer service software program finished. But they've been working on it for...
Five plus years.
You think about it, I did this thing. Smartphones didn't exist 5 years ago. And they're still trying to figure out their customer service software.
You did it, the biggest loser.
The winner. We're all winners.
Members of the General Assembly?
Yes, members of the General Assembly. We, of course, we're about to in January, and we'll start a new General Assembly in Maryland with some newly elected representatives. And this is the time, finally, the General Assembly should resolve to stop kowtowing to the powerful liquor license lobbies and let Marylanders buy wine directly from out-of-state merchants.
From one wine lover to another.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Your children will be buying wine online and running up your credit cards, and the wine will show up. They'll be home from
now
school. You won't be home from work yet. They'll drink all the wine. That's the story. Right?
Now, even our state comptroller has found that is not true. He's investigating. 36 states have this, right? But here in Maryland, we're back in the dark ages, and we're not allowed to do this.
Well, we've got some pretty good wineries in Maryland now. I mean, we've got a couple of the new ones that are really outstanding. So, I mean, why do we need California wine, for instance?
We do.
Oh, okay.
How many bottles? I've seen your wine cellar. How many bottles of Maryland wine are sitting in your wine cellar?
No comment. No, actually, I don't.
There's that.
I am buying some of the wines from
Listen,
from
for the most part, the only That's time true. People drink Maryland wine is during Wine in the Woods.
You know, for such a huge proponent of diversity, you really ought to try some Maryland wines.
Why? By the way, I've been to most of the Maryland wineries, if not all. And they're good. I mean, they're good. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get that wine. Let's get that new law sorted out quickly.
We made a resolution for it, and then there's that. We have resolved to do exactly what we did in 2010.
And that is to make people a little uncomfortable 26 more times. Until our producer talks us into doing this every week.
Every week, yeah. I actually made a resolution. I don't know if you have, Paul, but I want to share my resolution. And my resolution for 2011 is to no longer bring up the fact that Liz Bobo is the only politician that has refused an invitation to be on our program. That's the last time I resolved to say that. Now, that also brings up the problem with resolutions. You've got a little information on that.
Well, and I'm thinking that you're going to break that resolution about as quickly as all the other fellow Americans out there. So I did a little research on resolutions, and apparently 52% of participants in a resolution study 52% were confident with the success of their goals, their resolutions that they made.
They were confident.
When, in fact, only 12% of people out there actually achieved their goals.
Really?
Now, what I thought was interesting was
men
achieve their goals 22% more often when they put them in writing. Wrote them down. They're goal-oriented kind of guys. Yeah, I'm going to lose X pounds per week.
Check it off the list.
While women, on the other hand, succeeded 10% more frequently when they made their goals public and got support from their friends and peeps.
They're so collaborative.
It takes a village. I'm telling you.
They share.
You mean the singer?
Huh?
Yeah. The other
share. They share more. One of the other resolutions I have, I resolve to no longer have iPhone envy in 2011.
Go ahead, get it in. Come on.
I'm going to have iPad envy from now on. Because, I'm like the only cool kid around here that doesn't have an iPad.
You know what? I think all of us at this table think you're a pretty cool kid, whether you've got an iPad or not.
Well, thanks, Paul.
Yes.
All right, so now we're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to talk to some of the people here at the Columbia Mall and get their perspective on their New Year's resolutions and get their thoughts about whether they think they can stick to them or not.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
All the people just disappeared. There were a bunch of people hovering around. Nothing. they evaporated.
How you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Good. We're doing a podcast that airs every 2 weeks on Hoco Mojo, local network. We're doing a show today on New Year's resolutions. Have you made any?
Yeah.
What you got for us?
Well, mine is I'm going to go to church more.
Okay.
I'm going to buy me a new truck.
You buy yourself a new truck. All right. Now, have you made New Year's resolutions in the past?
Yeah.
And have you been successful in keeping them?
Yes.
Very impressive.
What was your New Year's resolution for 2010?
My New Year's resolution for 2010 was to continue and maintain employment, and I did it.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks. Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
What's your name?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, have you thought about what your New Year's resolutions are going to be for the year?
Yes.
What you got for us?
To not eat fast food every meal of the day, every day.
Wait a minute. You eat fast food for every meal?
Yes.
That's a good resolution.
Now, have you made New Year's resolutions in the past?
Yes.
And have you been successful in keeping them?
Never. Nope.
How long do they last?
A day, maybe. Maybe a week. That's the longest they've ever lasted.
Now, we did some research, and we found out that only 12% of people that make resolutions actually follow through with them. And women, when they make their resolutions, if they share their resolutions with their friends and their peeps, they're more likely to follow them through. So if you tell all your friends about the fact that you're going to stop eating fast food, it might work out for you.
I'm going to tell my roommates to help me out.
What's your name?
Kirsten.
What about you? You thought about New Year's resolutions?
Pretty much the same thing. And to start running. I need to start running.
Did you run today?
No, I did not.
We had Chick-fil-A just about 10 minutes ago.
So you're trying to get into that fast food before the New Year starts?
Oh, of course.
Well, thank you very much. We wish you both a happy New Year.
Yeah, happy
thanks.
New Year. Hey, what's your name?
Chris.
Chris, we're doing a podcast on New Year's resolutions. Have you made one this year?
I haven't really made one, but I think I've made a standard to where I want to become more consistent, see things through to the end.
Was that your resolution in 2010?
No. No, that was a problem that came up in 2010.
So you're going to address it in 2011. Right. Well, good. Well, what do you think your chances of success are?
I think it's pretty good. I have a loving wife who will support me, and she's my accountability partner. So.
Great. What's her name?
Her name's Asiya.
Happy New Year to both of you.
Same to you. Thank you.
Thank you. That about wraps up yet another episode of Then There's That. On behalf of myself and my co-host, Paul Scowney, we'd like to thank our producer, Dave Bittner, for making us look good on radio, and to General Growth Properties and the Mall in Columbia for hosting our show again today. We'll be back again on January 14th with a discussion about the upcoming Maryland General Assembly with an as-yet-to-be-determined guest. The Assembly will be tackling a looming state budget deficit, as well as dealing with the issue of direct shipment of wine to Maryland consumers. We hope you'll join us.